series this morning, Powerful Prayers from the Bible. We're going to talk about prayer in the month of September, and this morning we're starting off our series by prayer called Prayers That Set You Free. Now, I'm well aware of the time, okay? So don't be doing this, okay? I've got it. I'm going to fly through this. We're going to get done this morning, but I've got a message that I believe is powerful. It can set you free. Anybody here ever blown it? Okay, good. Half of you have blown it in your life. That's good. I always knew I had a special church, and it's good to know that that's true. But we're going to talk about what happens after you blow it. Where do you go? Where do you go to recover from a massive failure? I left my clicker back there, Brent. Thank you. Where do you go to recover from a massive failure? You're probably familiar with the story of King David. Thank you. With the story of King David and what happened in his life when he was king of Israel. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. If you have failure in your life, and if you haven't had failure yet, it's probably coming. There's something about human nature that makes us prone to failure, and we need a place to go. We need to be set free from that failure. I know people that are laboring under the chains of failures in the past. They've never been set free from them. They live under the condemnation of things that they have done in the past, and they can't seem to break free from that. We're going to talk about that this morning. And if that's you, I want you to know that you have hope in Jesus Christ of being set free from those things in your past that hold you back. That you can be set free from those things in your past that hold you back. David was king of Israel. He had established his kingdom. He was solidly on the throne. He was a hero to the people of Israel. He was a good king. He did good things for the nation of Israel. He loved God. But one day he was looking out his window and he noticed a woman bathing across the way on the rooftop. Now, we can talk all day about why was David home? Why was he not out on the battlefield with his troops? Why was Bathsheba on the rooftop bathing? You know, all of these kind of figure out questions that we've got. But what happened was David looked at the woman. He was filled with lust. He called for her. She came to see him. He slept with her, and then he sent her home. We're not told what David thought, but he probably thought that he had gotten away with something in his life. You know, after all, he was king. All of the people belonged to him. He was God's man for the hour. It's amazing the excuses that you can come up with at the moment of failure in your life. It's amazing how you can rationalize those things that you know are wrong, that under normal circumstances you probably would never do, but in the moment of temptation you give in and you do something that is just monumentally stupid. And you wonder, wow, am I going to get caught at this thing? Well, you probably know the story. David did get caught. The prophet Nathan came to David. He pointed his finger at him and he said, "You are the man. You have sinned before God and you need to make this thing right." And David was caught in the middle of a conundrum, because not only did David sin by sleeping with Bathsheba, but he tried to cover up his sin. That seems to be step two in our journey on life, is that we not only sin, but we want to cover that sin up. We want to make sure that nobody knows about it. Those secrets that we have in our life, secrets kill us. Secrets destroy us. And the more we try to keep that secret inside, the worse things get. And David went to the point of murdering Bathsheba's husband in order to cover up his sin. I won't tell the whole story. You probably know it. But David had lured Bathsheba's husband back home and sent him home to be with his wife so that he would sleep with her. And then no one would know that it was his child that Bathsheba was carrying. But he was a better man than David. And finally, David resorted to putting him on the front lines, having him killed, so that nobody would know. But how many of you know that God always knows? And God has a way of bringing those things out in our lives, not because He enjoys watching us wriggle and writhe and suffer under the torment of sin, but because He wants to set us free from the bondage that sin brings into our lives. How many of you know that when you fail big, that's all that matters in your life from that point on? It's always in front of you. It's always there. No one else knows, but you know that it's there, and you can't get rid of it, and it literally has you bound in chains. You sit in church on Sunday and every song reminds you of your failure. You hear the messages on Sunday and every message reminds you that you're a failure. You hear a call, maybe to missions. Maybe God is calling you to ministry inside the church. Maybe God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. But all you can think about is, how can I do that when I have that in my past? There's a place that you can go. There's a prayer that you can pray that brings freedom from those things that you have blown big in your life. And I want to look at Psalm chapter 51. Psalm 51 is David's response to Nathan the prophet pointing his finger at the king of Israel and saying, "You are a sinner. You have blown it big and God wants to set you free." David wrote Psalm 51 in response to that. I want to read it to you very quickly, and then we're going to go through and we're going to see how you can pray powerful prayers, how you can pray for God to set you free from that thing in your past that is dominating your life. Here's what David wrote. "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again, that you have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your way to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you." I want to tell you this morning that there is freedom from the past. There is freedom from failure in your life. But there's only one way to really find freedom, and that is to go to God in the confession of your sins. I want to talk about that this morning because it's not talked about very much today. As a matter of fact, it's rarely talked about, this thing called confession of sins. Our Catholic brothers and sisters have something called confession, and that may kind of confuse you because they believe that you can go to the priest and you can confess your sins to the priest and he'll give you things that you can do and then you'll be forgiven from your sins. You know, there's a grain of truth in that. It is good to confess your sins. But we don't need to go to a priest, to a man, to a person to confess our sins. The Bible says that we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And we can confess our sins to Him and to Him alone. And He will freely forgive us. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder if there's some people here this morning that need to be set free from the chains that bind them. Maybe you're here and you see people worshiping, raising their hands, enjoying the fruit of the Spirit of God, being in the presence of the Spirit of God, and you wish you could do that. You wish you could have that freedom to rejoice in the Lord. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you have heard about the joy of the Lord being restored to you, but you haven't experienced that joy in a long time. As a matter of fact, you wonder if there's something wrong with you because you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. I want you to know that the Bible says that you can be free, that there is a powerful prayer that you can pray. And I would encourage you even to go through and pray Psalm 51. It's okay to pray Scripture, by the way. Not everything has to be original with you. Scripture is God's Word flowing through you. And you can see yourself in this. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of my salvation. Unseal my lips so that I may praise you. David thought of it thousands of years ago, but you can use it today to set you free. There are a few steps that I want to encourage you to take this morning if you find yourself in bondage to your past. And number one is confess your sins. Confess the sins that God knows about and that you know about, even that nobody else knows about. Listen, I think there's something powerful about naming the areas of failure in our life. Now, we're not going to get a microphone stand up here and have everybody come up and confess their sins so that we can all pray for you. That's not what we need to do, but we need to go to God and we need to confess our sins. There's just something powerful about naming that sin. God, I lied to my wife today. Lord, I was abusive towards my children. I was mean-spirited with the things that I said. Oh, God, forgive me. There's something freeing about naming that sin. There's something freeing about putting a label on that and calling it what it is and not sugarcoating it and not saying, but God, if my wife hadn't talked to me that way, I wouldn't have been mean to her, God. You know it's her fault. That's not a confession of sin. That's rationalizing. Confess that sin. Make sure that you know what you're doing is wrong. There's a powerful freedom that comes from that. And then ask God to cleanse you from the stain of that sin. You know, every sin leaves a stain in our life. Every sin that goes unconfessed becomes another brick in the wall between you and God. And that cleansing power of Jesus Christ begins to chip away at those bricks that have built up over the years so that God has free access to our hearts and we have free access to God. That's what cleansing is. And the writer says, have mercy on me. Blot out my stain of my sins. Wash me clean from guilt. Purify me from my sin. That is the wonderful thing about following Jesus Christ, is that He doesn't just cover over your sins. He doesn't just cover over your sins. He purifies them. Let me tell you what the difference is. What would happen in your home if your idea of cleaning your house would to be take all the dust, all the dirt, all of the stuff that you sweep it up and just sweep it under the carpet? Well, the first time you do that, it's not too big a deal. Nobody notices. It's gone. It's out of sight. It's out of the way. It's covered up. It's covered over. But after the first month, you may notice that your rug begins to look like this. It's got rips and ripples in it, and it's got, you know, sharp pointy things start poking up through it. And after a while, if you continue to just cover up your sin, it just gets, you know, it's people walk in your house and go, my goodness, what happened to your rug? It's got a peak in it. And everybody knows what you've been doing. Jesus wants to cleanse you from your sin. He wants to clean you from the inside out. He wants to take away the guilt. He wants to take away the power of sin over your life. He wants you to be able to walk into church and with a free heart and a free soul say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. But if your sins are only covered up, you can't do that. You know it's there. God knows it's there. It's that brick wall that's being built up. And God wants you to be cleansed, wants you to be set free from all of those things that are coming against you. You want to get your joy back. God wants you to begin rejoicing again in the power of your salvation. You are saved eternally in the power of Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about next week or next month, because the power of God is the power to save you eternally, and it sets you free so that you can be joyful in the presence of the Lord. Despite the circumstances, despite the enemy whispering in your ear. That's another thing we need to talk about. Excuse me. You know, hidden secret sins, unconfessed, unrepented of sins, are the most powerful weapon that the enemy has to use against you. Because every time God speaks to you, every time God begins to talk to your heart, every time the Spirit of God begins to move within you, the enemy is right there saying, wait a minute, do you remember when? Do you remember what you did 20 years ago? Do you remember what you did yesterday? Do you remember those things? How can you sit here and begin to worship God? You're not worthy. You need to get out of this place. You need to shut up. You need to sit down. You just need to give up. And sadly, a lot of Christians do that when the remedy is so simple. It is simply confess your sins before God. Go to Him. Come to the altar. Go to your car. Shut your bedroom door. Do what you have to do. But go to God and tell Him what you've done. He already knows anyway. He wants to hear it from you. And you will feel those chains begin to slide off. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins. If. The possibility of not doing it. The possibility of holding it back. But if you do confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Faithfulness talks about the consistency of His character. Every time you come to Him, every time you lay your soul bare before Him, He will be faithful to forgive you. He's a faithful God. He doesn't say, not today. I'm having a bad day, and I don't want to forgive you today. Your sin was too bad. You went over the line. No, He's faithful. He is faithful, and He is just. He's just. He always does the right thing. He is always consistent in His justice towards you and I, and He said, I will forgive you if you come to Me through Jesus Christ. If you come to Me through Jesus Christ. You know, some of us are under this idea that if we just do better next time, somehow the scale will tip. You know, right now my sins are more than my good points, and so I just got to do a little bit more good and a little bit more good and a little bit more good. The problem is, what's over here? Still your sins. They're still there. They're still alive. There's still a virus. There's still a sickness. And God says, I want to do more than just balance out your accounts. I want to do more than just get rid of, you know, make you feel better about yourself. I want to set you free. I want to forgive your sins so that when you come to Me and you say, Lord, remember when I can honestly say, no, I don't recall that at all. It's forgiven. It's gone. It's done with. Is there something that's holding you back this morning? Is there something in your past that is just kind of there and it never goes away? I want you to know this morning you can be set free from years of bondage. Just confess those sins before God. Create in me a new heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Go to Psalm 51. Maybe some of you this afternoon, you need to lock yourself in your bedroom. You need to go to your prayer closet. You need to go somewhere where it's just you and God. You need to go for a walk in the woods. You need to do something where it's just you and God. And take Psalm 51 with you and just begin reading that. Reading it like you wrote it. Reading it like you need it. Because you do. Create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask You to come into this place. God, I ask Your Holy Spirit to come and convict of sin, not in a way that brings condemnation, but in a way that brings repentance, God, and shows people that they need to give from their hearts that prayer of forgiveness that they need, Jesus. Just do that in Jesus' name. I wonder if there's anybody here that would like prayer for that, if this is speaking to you. I wonder if you would just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to be set free from some things in my life, and I'll pray for you right now. I won't point you out or anything like that, but I'll pray for you in just a moment. Anybody here like that real quickly? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God's going to set you free today. God's going to set you free today. Lord, in Jesus' name, God. Anyone else real quick? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Stand with me right now. Yep, I see that hand. Okay, come on, stand up. Worship team is going to lead us in this song. If you raised your hand and you want to come to this altar, you're welcome to do that. The way we work that around here is if you come and stand at the altar, someone's going to come and pray with you. One of our prayer team members is going to come and pray with you. If you want to be left alone, just you and God, come and kneel at the altar, sit in the front row, and be left alone. pray to God in whatever way you want to do that, and let God work in your heart.